Our scripture lesson for today you will find recorded in the Gospel according to St. Luke. And if you will turn with me, please, to chapter 18. This particular scripture forms the foundation for today's message. Luke chapter 18, beginning with verse 1. This is the word of the Lord. And he spoke a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint, saying there was in a city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man. And there was a widow in that city. And she came unto him, saying, avenge me of mine adversary. And he would not for a while. But afterward he said within himself, though I fear not God, nor regard man, yet because this widow troubles me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge said. And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, shall he find faith on earth? And then I continue on, verse 9, and he spoke this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed with himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men, even extortioners, unjust, adulterers, even as this publican. I fast twice in the week. I go give tithes of all that I possess. And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. Thus far the reading of our scripture lesson for today. As we entered into the month of October, my original intention was to begin a series of messages on the fruit of the Holy Spirit, the gift of the fruit of the Holy Spirit, continuing the first two series on the Holy Spirit, the gift of ministry and the gift of personalities. However, the Lord just kept persisting, it seemed to me, that every time I went to prepare these messages, other subjects, other scriptures, other priorities seemed to be getting in the way. And so last week, giving in to that nudge of the Spirit, I brought you the message on the eternal power of the blood of Jesus. I can't measure the effectualness of a particular message, but I was blessed out of my socks when, following the service, one gentleman came up to me and said, after hearing that message, I have determined to get closer to God. So we are grateful for the Holy Spirit moving in the hearts of you folks, these messages that come from His Word. Now today, this message has had even more nudges, if you will, over a much longer period of time to bring you the message on the priority of private personal prayer. But what sealed it, beyond any shadow of a doubt, was when Mary King last Sunday just erupted with this marvelous testimony of a dream which she had. Now, if you recall, Mary wasn't absolutely sure that that dream was for anyone other than herself. But I want to confess to you that I have not been able to get that dream out of my craw all week long. It just kept coming back and coming back and coming back. I don't know about you, but sometimes we hear something and it gets discharged into the atmosphere. So I've asked Mary to come today, and I've asked her to come up here to the pulpit because I want to be sure this message is included in our CDs which go out. So, Miss Mary, if you will please come and share that beautiful word with us.
Good morning.
Good morning.
It's been said that people have dreams, but they don't remember them, and that they fade fast. But I have been blessed to have dreams that stay with me sometimes for days. And last week I had a dream that is still with me and still in my mind. And as Pastor Ward said, I didn't know if it was, you know, what I thought it was. But I do believe that this dream is important. And it seems that myself and my family, it would be my mother, who as you know is deceased, and my children were with me, and we had gone to visit another family who had children the same age as mine were at the time, and had a lovely meal together, enjoyed each other's company, and the children decided they were all going to go off for a walk, and the host family stayed home and, you know, cleaned up the dinner and all of that sort of thing. But my mother and I decided we needed to take a walk, and we wanted to go see what was on the other side of the sand dunes. So we walked down to the shore, and we climbed this mild, easy sand dune and looked off in the distance, very disconcerted, because there was a long stretch of beach that was before us, as well as another large sand dune. But this beach was nothing but desolation. There were broken shells, broken glass, seaweed, piles of kelp, and we wondered how we were ever going to make it across, because we really did want to see what was on the other side. And so we continued. We climbed that sand dune. It was tough, but we got there. And when we got to the other side, there was a beautiful, beautiful ocean and light, and I knew that God was there. So I know, after giving it a great deal of thought, and it stayed with me for days, that that might be our future. We have hills, sand dunes, problems to climb. We have desolation between us and our ultimate goal, and that ultimate goal is God. So please, please have faith and know that the desolation and the sand dunes will give you God.
Bless. Now, as Mary looked off in the distance and saw nothing but desolation, that's the word that really struck me. The desolation, the seaweed, the pile, the brokenness that was there between where she stood and her destination, the isle that was beyond, and how to get there. How to get across, how to survive that desolation, led me to cry out to the Lord as to the meaning of this dream, which I found to be so very, very powerful in its ability to communicate. And this is what I believe the Lord shared with me. Mary's dream is a picture of what is happening in our world today. The desolation, the seaweed, the climbing of dunes, sand, meaningless empty sand, devastation all around. But in addition to Mary's dream, last week something took place in the United States that over our 200 years of history as a nation has never, ever, ever happened before. The House of Representatives dismissed their chairman of the House of Representatives. It's never happened before. And in the midst of a great amount of debate and chaos and disagreement, this has left the House of Representatives in a state of real uncertainty. And I just saw this as a confirmation of what Mary's dream was introducing to us. Because the House of Representatives, unlike the Senate, the Supreme Court, or the Executive Office of the President, this is referred to as the House of the People. And it has representatives from every state based upon population. And when a woman came up to Benjamin Franklin after the Constitutional Convention and asked him the question, "Dr. Franklin, what kind of government have you given us?" He said in answer to her question, "A democratic republic, if you can keep it." Now, I hear all kinds of people describing our government. Rarely, rarely do I hear it accurately referred to as a democratic republic. What does that mean? The word democratic means that the people's voice is determinative in that government. And the republic means that it is a representative. So there are representatives chosen from the various states, the House by population, the Senate, two representatives from each state as a sign of equal power and authority. But when the House of Representatives has no chairman, president, it can't function. It can't pass laws. It can't fulfill its requirements as the second office of the Chamber of Congress. And what's even more frightening, should some kind of a strike occur against the government and the president and the vice president, line of succession, would be taken out. By constitutional law, the president of the House of Representatives is next in line to govern. And without that authority, the Constitution never provided any other law as to what would happen if all three of them were gone. And so I began to earnestly pray this week for a word from the Lord. And this is the word which I believe he brought me. A powerful wind is blowing across our land and across the world. It is a progressive wind, bringing distress, deception, and disintegration, seeking to destroy our families, our finances, our freedom, our schools, our government, our faith, our future, and ultimately to destroy truth. The issue that is before us is far more determinative than I am able to describe to you. However, I believe with all my heart that Mary's dream paints a picture that is prophetic and is powerful. Mary's dream may well be revealing to us that our strength or weakness in facing the challenges of navigating through the days before us will depend in large part upon our faithfulness and attention to private personal prayer. Over the years, I've spoken on a number of occasions about prayer, and I've asked myself the question many times, what is prayer? How does prayer work? And we know that we have what we would call public prayer and private prayer. We have formal prayers, ritual prayers, that means routine prayers, rote prayers, those are prayers that we just recite, if you will. We have the opportunity to have real prayer. And that's the issue that I want to talk to you about today, the issue of real prayer, or to put it another way, intentional prayer, or prayer of engagement, prayer that intentionally engages you with the Lord, what's upon your heart and what's upon His mind. So I want to ask you the question today, what is your personal prayer life like? Now, we don't pass out sheets of paper and give examinations. This is not a class or an educational session. This is to be a prophetic word from the Lord to challenge each of us by the Holy Spirit to look at a critical issue, I believe a determinative issue, that will reflect how you and I are going to navigate that disastrous area that lies between today and our going home to be with the Lord. Prayer, I believe, is the miracle of being drawn into the presence of Almighty God. That's a word I believe the Lord gave me this week. I'm going to repeat it. I believe that prayer is the miracle of being drawn into the presence of Almighty God. I believe prayer is as essential as breathing, spontaneous instead of off the cuff, oh, I'll pray for you. Prayer that is intentional, prayer that is engaging, and prayer that cries humbly out, Abba, Father. I believe also the Lord gave me this word. Prayer is the oxygen of the miraculous. Prayer is the oxygen of the miraculous. We stop and think about this for a moment. When you pray individually, alone, all by yourself, nobody with you, your prayer is you speaking to the Creator of the entire universe. And the Lord painted this silly little picture for me this week. The very thought that you and I, the dust of the earth, could speak to the Creator of the universe, the determiner of the destiny of the world, is like a picture of an ant speaking to an elephant. And so we have the testimonies. From prisons to palaces, from battlefields to boardrooms, prayer has sustained tens of thousands of believers all through the centuries. And it will sustain you and it will sustain me as we move forward. The Lord also this week gave me a picture. I was never very good at any kind of music or musical instrument. My mother insisted that as a young lad, I learned to play the accordion, the biggest disaster of my life. And not only was it a disaster because I had absolutely no gift or talent, but she stood over me and guarded my requirement to practice a half hour to an hour every single day, every moment of which I hated. But the Lord showed me this picture this week that corporate prayer, as we come together in the church and pray, which we do several times a week, is much like a symphony orchestra that is rendering a powerful, powerful piece of music. At home, or wherever, each musician with his own particular instrument practices hour after hour after hour, alone, by himself, with his instrument, to perfect his skill in the use of that instrument. But on the day of the symphony, all of the players come together, each with his own instrument. And together, they make a beautiful, beautiful symphonic gift that goes out to bless people. Now, in some ways, I see Jesus' Lord Church in somewhat the same light. Each of you, being a believer, being a Christian who desires to be close to the Lord, in your home, in the private places where you seek the Lord, you pray. How you pray, I don't know. Bless the Lord, there's no rules for praying. Each individual comes before the Lord and prays as the Lord or the Holy Spirit directs. But those private personal prayers provide the gift of perfecting and maturing and growing in our ability to speak to the Creator of this universe, and to pray for one another, and to pray for our earth and our world and all that is contained therein. So I want to introduce to you today a new thought. I've never thought this before. But essentially, there are really two kinds of prayer. There are ritual, formal prayers prayed at designated times, perhaps with specific people. And those are crucial. Those are important. But there are also what the Lord gave me as a word this week, random prayers. Random prayers. Random prayers don't have a schedule. Random prayers do not have a formula. Random prayers are offered up anywhere, anytime, any place, any way that the Holy Spirit leads us. And these random prayers, I believe, become, if you will, the nucleus of our growing in confidence, growing in encouragement, growing in faith, growing in strength, to be able to withstand the blowing wind that is moving across our world at a pace that none of us can really determine. I began this message today by speaking to you from the Gospel of St. Luke, two parables, both about prayer, back to back, same chapter. First was a lesson on persisting in prayer. And the judge, who was the recipient of those prayers, had absolutely no intention of answering the widow's prayer. Why did he ultimately act? Because of her persistence. And the scripture says, if I do not act, this woman is wearying me with her persistence. And so I ask myself today, how persistent are my prayers for whatever the Lord has put upon my heart to pray? It is wise, I believe, as we begin to pray, that rather than rattle off a list of items that are concerning us, that we might honor the Lord by starting with the request, Father, are there any concerns on your heart about which you want me to pray today? Let the Lord direct the subject of the prayers that you offer back to Him. I believe that's an absolute guarantee that we can be confident that He will hear us. The second parable has intrigued me for over 60 years. When I was a young lad, as you walked into the narthex of Grace Lutheran Church, a church built much like a cathedral, there in the entryway called the narthex of the church hung this massive painting. And the title of that painting is called The Presence. And it shows that humble publican kneeling in the shadows of the massive pillars of the temple, totally unseen by any individual. And the proud, arrogant Pharisee up by the altar, beating himself on the chest, hollering out to Almighty God of His goodness and His greatness. But one of the miracles of that painting, as you study it, as you look at it, while the publican is kneeling there in the shadows, almost you cannot see him, there is a bright light that comes from above that shines on the head of that publican, reminding us of the words of Jesus. This humble sinner went down to his house justified rather than the public. So I learned from that parable, of course, many things, but one thing I learned is this. You can say all the words in the right place at the right time, and you can quote, recite all the prayers, all the words, all the paragraphs that you want to. But that publican had absolutely no clue what prayer was, what prayer is about. The publican had no prayer book. He had no ritual. He had no set format. In fact, he didn't even lift his head up. But he knelt humbly before the Lord. And what did he do? He poured out his spirit. Now, I believe that's a powerful, mighty example of true, personal, private prayer. Humbly gathering before the Father. Random prayers whenever, however, the opportunity presents itself. And humbly crying out to Almighty God, the Creator of this universe, the concerns of your heart, your spirit, before Him, knowing that He hears us and He will answer. And I close today by reminding you of something I have shared with you over the years, that Almighty Father God has a telephone number. Now, I know in so many emergencies, we are almost automatically moved to dial 911. That's great. That's good. But I wish that everybody who dialed 911 or who faced a particular crisis or situation beyond their own strength or energy would dial 333. That's the Lord's telephone number. And it comes from Jeremiah chapter 33, verse 3. And this is what it says. You call upon me in the day of trouble. Number one, it says, I will hear you. Number two, it says, I will answer you. And number three, it tells us, I will show you things that you do not know. It is time that the Lord's people are dialing 333 on a regular, sincere basis. We need to call upon the Lord. We need the strength and the encouragement, the confidence that comes from communion with the Lord in prayer to bring us through victoriously these days. May the Lord bless your prayer life. Let us pray. Father, we bow before you humbly. We thank you for reminding us of the power, the blessing of private, personal prayer. We are thrilled to come together and pray as a body, to pray as a congregation. We're so blessed to do that. But we also need to be reminded from time to time that more importantly, prayer is a very, very, very personal matter between you and myself. And so, Father, humbly, I ask today that you bless, increase, and multiply the opportunities for this congregation privately, personally, to call upon you any hour of the day or night, and then rivet within their spirit, the confidence that you hear, that you will answer us, and you will show us things we do not even know. Now the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God our Father, and the fellowship of the precious Holy Spirit be with you all. And the Lord's people said, Amen. Amen.